Dan, the Ducks, I guess let's start, first of all, welcome to the show, with their, you know, the bad news about Silverberg. He'll miss his third game tonight, but are they expecting him back right after the All-Star break? What's the prognosis with him?
Well, they're certainly hopeful that he'll be back right after the break. I talked to Jakob today, and he said he's basically going to use the break, not as a break, but as a period to work through what he's going through, and hopefully he said he will be ready when the Ducks return next Tuesday night against Colorado.
And, Dan, what about Gibson? What's his status?
Well, Gibson will be in uniform tonight. Whether he'll play, we don't know. Coach Randy Carlyle never reveals the identity of his starting goaltender, and I honestly don't know who will play tonight. My hunch is they'll go with Bernier just to give Gibson a few more days to come back. But I've been wrong before, so who knows? We might see Gibson tonight.
Now, what happened exactly to Gibson?
Well, they just called it an upper body injury. He left the game in Minnesota late in the first period. That was on Saturday night. Practiced Sunday in Winnipeg, dressed as the backup Monday night in Winnipeg. And, I think he could play. It's just a question of whether they want to do that or maybe looking a little bit more at the big picture and how well John Gibson has played the past month. They certainly want him to be right down the stretch and into the playoffs. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they give him tonight off and, just let him gear up for next week.
Dan, going into this one, I mean, the Oilers, you know, they're in a place where they haven't been for many a year at this point in the season. They're going to have to go through teams like Anaheim and San Jose to prove they belong to stick that high. You know this guy as well as anybody. Milan Lucic has been rumbling around a little bit of late, looking like the old snarly younger Milan Lucic. When you draw it up on the whiteboard as Anaheim's coach, how do you play this guy? Do you leave him alone, or what's your take?
Well, honestly, Robin, you know, you look at the Oilers as a whole, and you see Lucic, you see Zach Cashin, you see Patrick Maroon, guys that, they didn't have in the past. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of the good, young, skilled, speedy players, but they didn't really have the big bodies to throw their weight around and maybe protect those skill guys. And I think it's not just Lucic, it's all of them that give the Oilers a different element now, make them considerably harder to play against. And I think whether you're the Ducks or the Sharks tomorrow night or any other team that faces the Oilers, you have to be aware of that. You know, it's not just a matter now of, you know, trying to impose your will against McDavid and Nugent Hopkins and Eberle and all those guys. You know, if you do, you're going to have to answer to the Lucic's, Maroon's, Cashin's. And I think that, that makes the degree of difficulty in beating Edmonton considerably higher than it has been for the past decade.
Dan Wood joins us from Anaheim. Dan, the Oilers, they come in tonight a much different team. The Anaheim Ducks are and the San Jose Sharks, to me, are still the two best teams in the Pacific Division, but the Oilers are closing ground for the first time in a long, long time. You look at the Ducks and how they match up against the Oilers, and, you know, when Lucic and Maroon and them are going well, the Oilers can beat you in different ways because they got the spill, the speed speed and skill of Draisaitl and McDavid, and then kind of some skilled nastiness in Lucic and Maroon, and the Ducks obviously have a lot of both as well. How do you think, they're approaching them differently now than they have been in the past? Like, what scares or concerns the Ducks about the Oilers that didn't in the past?
Well, I think, like we just talked about, the combination of the different elements that the Oilers can bring to the table now. And, they haven't been hard to play against for quite a long time, and now that's changed. And then you have, obviously, Connor McDavid, who is among, if not the best player in the league right now. It's interesting, though, when you look at this matchup, you can't get away from the McDavid-Kessler matchup. Ryan Kessler relishes those types of assignments to shut down an opposition top player. And I was looking at the numbers. McDavid did not have a point in either game against Anaheim this season. He has one assist in his five career games against the Ducks. And I know this. When I watch the Oilers play on television against other teams, Connor McDavid looks a lot better than he has in the two games against Anaheim this season. And I think that's specifically because of how Ryan Kessler plays against him. And maybe that's the next step for Connor McDavid, is he has to be able to match up against these real good shutdown guys and still be effective on the score sheet. And I have no doubt that he will be, but of course the Ducks would like to delay that as long as possible.
Yeah, Dan, that's a good point. I mean, the thing with Kess is he's one of those guys who has the physicality in his game, but he can stay close to McDavid. I don't know that he's as quick, but he's one of those few guys who can really skate in that role. One guy I want to ask you about, because you've seen him, Patrick Maroon has played with skill and had some success in short stretches before. Your take on his season from afar, because this isn't a little dash of being good. He's been very good for a very long time now.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to see that, Robin. Patrick Maroon is a good guy, the type of guy that you root for. And I'm not terribly surprised that he's having the success that he is. Maybe a little bit from a goal-scoring standpoint. I don't know that any of us would have necessarily expected him to have 18 goals at this point. But playing with the people that he has been, for the most part, is a tremendous opportunity for him. And I remember when we were in Edmonton late last season, Todd McLellan talked about Patrick Maroon, and he said if Patty wanted to play with Connor McDavid and the really good players, he was going to have to do a lot of work off ice to make sure he was ready for that. Mm-hmm. And clearly Maroon did exactly that. When we were up in Edmonton early last month, I chatted with Patty. He was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and it was really evident that he had slimmed down and was in the best shape of his life. You know, he improved himself conditioning-wise when he came to Anaheim from Philadelphia, but he's taken it to another level now, and he's always had good hands. He's a real good passer, you know, in and around the net, and, you know, I think it's great for Patty, great for the Oilers.
The one concern the Ducks have probably isn't even this year, Dan, but it's the expansion draft, and obviously when you're a good team, I was looking at, now, Kevin Bieksa, I look at his age and everything. Do you think there's a chance that he would waive his no-movement clause? A, it would help the Ducks protect another defenseman or forwards or what have you, but also because it's maybe unlikely that Vegas drafts a guy at his age with only 1 year left?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a good chance of that. You know, the Ducks, as do a lot of teams, have some challenges with regard to putting together their protected list, you know, and they have both defensemen and forwards that they would be concerned about losing. But were Kevin Bieksa to waive that right to, you know, to and allow himself to be unprotected, you know, that would enable the Ducks, for example, to protect, say, Cam Fowler, Hampus Lindholm, and then either Sammy Vatanen or Josh Manson, and then be able to protect all of the forwards that they want to protect, because clearly you're going to protect Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, you have to, because they all have no move clauses too. And then you've got Raquel, there's no way you're leaving him unprotected. So you really need to protect the seven forwards, and then that enables you to shield Silverberg, Cogliano, guys like that. So I have to think they will ask Kevin Bieksa to waive that, and you know, I'd be real surprised if he wouldn't do that, because as you said, what's the likelihood that an expansion team is going to want a defenseman, you know, of his age, his contract? I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. We get to ask that question all the time. You know, how is a particular GM going to go? Is he going to go? How is he going to split that protected list?
Other thing, Robin, too, remember, there very well may be some movement between now and the expansion draft. You know, the GMs are going to swing trades and cut deals to try to minimize their losses in the expansion draft. So if you look at the Ducks just as one example, the players that you want to protect right now, that may be different come June.
Yeah. How many must-protects are there on the roster, Dan?
Well, there are four. Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, and Bieksa.
Okay. What might we see? Is there a tweak or two required, keeping expansion in mind, but just the stretch drive and playoffs? The Ducks are contenders again. There's always that question about them. Is there anything that makes sense to you?
Well, a couple of things in response to that. Number one, Nate Thompson is now with San Diego of the American League on a long-term injury conditioning loan. He tore an Achilles tendon in off-season training in the summer, hasn't played all season. If you get Nate Thompson back and he's healthy, that's almost like a trade deadline acquisition right there. And, you know, if you put Ryan Getzlaf, Ryan Kesler, Antoine Vermette, and Nate Thompson down the middle, I don't know how many NHL teams can rival that depth at center. So that's one thing the Ducks are looking forward to. Another is defenseman Clayton Stoner, who's missed most of the season with injury. You know, if he comes back, which we expect, that adds depth there. Now, the one glaring void, I guess you could say, they could really use another scoring winger. But they're up against the salary cap, so they're going to have to be real imaginative to figure out a way to squeeze in another player who makes much money at all. You know, they could subtract a guy off the roster who makes comparable money, or maybe if you pick up somebody right at the deadline and you're only on the hook for a fraction of his salary and his salary cap space. Bob Murray has proven to be, you know, pretty good as far as tweaking things. Mm-hmm. So I know the Ducks would love to get a scoring winger. Whether they can pull it off, I don't know.
Dan Wood, analyst for the Anaheim Ducks, joins us. Orders taken on the Ducks night. So, Dan, I'm going to ask you for fun. If you could only protect one, Manson or Vatanen, who would it be?
Well, I'll tell you, I would probably, and this is just me talking, and as you may or may not know, I have zero experience as an NHL general manager, but I look at Josh Manson and his contract, and that's real attractive to me because he's a good player. He doesn't eat up a ton of salary cap space, whereas Sammy Vatanen has a considerably larger contract. If I had to risk it, I think I would protect Manson because I think he would be a no-brainer for Vegas to take, whereas they might pass on Sammy Vatanen just because of his contract. That's probably the way I would do it, but again, I'm no GM.
Yeah, no, but you see them lots, and it's an intriguing one for sure. And, you know, the Ducks, who knows, maybe they just they get BX'd away with it and they make a trade for one of those defensemen because, hey, trust me, there's a lot of teams that are always looking for defensemen, so it might be even easier to move them because losing one of those players in the expansion draft for nothing, I don't see a GM doing that. I think it'd accept maybe losing the trade and getting at least something rather than losing them for absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah, it's a good point because, I mean, you can always trade players for draft picks and things of that nature. The Ducks are very fortunate in that they have a number of good young defensive prospects whom we haven't even mentioned. You know, Shea Theodore, Brandon Montour, Jacob Larson. They have guys coming that are going at some point to replace some of the people who are here now. So, you know, it's not a stretch to think that at some point the Ducks might trade a pretty good defenseman, you know, probably for a forward.
Dan, as always, great to catch up with you. Enjoy the game tonight. First time in a long time, you could say, a meaningful game involving the Oilers in January in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.